Well, in my experience, I always was interested in law. I was going to trials when I was a kid to go to St. Louis County Courthouse. I also was very interested in writing, and I wrote short stories and songs. And I had a guitar, like I was just talking about, and I always knew at some point I wanted to do some kind of writing, but I kept myself very flexible on what kind of writing it would be, because you can't be too focused, as I said. Mm-hmm. And as I started practicing law, the idea of law and writing kind of came together in the first book, which was about how to avoid lawsuits. And that's one thing people say when you want to write, is start with something you really know very, very well.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were in law school, takes up pretty good amount of your time, though, too. So were you doing a lot of really narrowly focused time for that 3 or 4 years?
Well, during law school, obviously, you do have to be focused on your final exams and getting good grades. But even law school, I mean, there's spare time. Everybody has spare time. I was amazed, and I quote Judge Murphy from the Southern District of Illinois about people say they don't have time to work out or they don't have time to do this. I mean, it's a question of priorities. You always have time to do what you want to do most, mm-hmm. because that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you really want to do something, you'll find time for it. I had a conversation with somebody about that exact issue, and they said that someone had told them they didn't have time to do something. And then a couple minutes later, the person asked him, "Did you watch American Idol last night?" "Oh yeah." I said, "Well, why weren't you doing something you rather, you know, something more interesting or something more geared toward advancing your career?" We all do things that waste time, and if we really want to do something, you can find the time to mm-hmm. do it.
Did you have people, friends, when you were growing up that struck you as really goofballs who are now, as a result of being real goofballs, hugely successful?
Well, I definitely. In fact, I tell a story at the beginning of the book about someone I know quite well. He's the chairman of my law firm, mm-hmm. And I ran into somebody at the D3 at LaGuardia Airport one day, saw my luggage tag, never met this guy. I said, "Oh, you work for this law firm, Brian Cave." "Yeah, I knew somebody that once worked there." And said the name was Walter Metcalf. I knew him in high school. He wasn't a real good student, you know, and okay guy. He probably doesn't work there anymore. So, well, he's actually the chairman of the firm. And the guy couldn't believe it. He was stunned, absolutely stunned. And you know, as I said, it's not a real obvious track to the top. It's not necessarily the most likely to succeed that gets there. Some of the people I talked to were the people that sort of glided to the top from the days they were in high school. But I'd say that was a very small minority, 10, 15, 20%.
Were a lot of these folks then misunderstood when they were younger? Do people think, you know, you're a dreamer, you're this, you're that, you're a little odd, and why aren't you watching American Idol? What's wrong with you?
Definitely. That's a common characteristic, is that other people kind of looked at them a little askance. You know, what's going on with you? Or why aren't you like the rest of us? A lot of people felt that way. And that's interesting, because a lot of people, when later in their career, you always hear, well, either you have charisma or you don't. And these people that rise to the top, look how charismatic they are. They always had it. Many of these people were very shy, very nervous, not the most popular person when they were younger. You can develop those qualities over time. And that's an important point in staying power, which is you don't either have it or not have it. It is a skill you can develop to have that sort of professional charisma, whether it be in politics, military, entertainment, wherever. You can develop the charisma that propels you to the top. I think there's several ways you do it. First of all, as I said earlier, find your talent, because as soon as you really find what you're good at, it's like a burst of energy, a jolt of energy that propels you upward. The other thing is work harder than everybody else, because it kind of builds a little legend around you. If you're kind of in early and out there late and always toiling away, people talk about you in a very positive light. Develop your speaking and communication skills. Almost everybody I talk to have made tangible efforts to improve their ability to communicate. So while they might have been shy and not very good at public speaking, they got on the school board or somewhere it was a little less pressured, so they could make speeches and talk to groups so they'd be better at their job at doing that. So they really made tangible efforts to improve their writing and speaking communication skills. Those are three of about 8 or 9 characteristics in the chapter on charisma I talk about that almost all of the 40 people tried to develop very aggressively.
Now, what about the poor sap who is an introvert by nature and not good at networking and just the hand trembles when they come out to say, "Hey, what ho, how are you? My name's Tom Schweik," something like that. Do those people have a big disadvantage?
Well, not if they pick the right field. Mm-hmm. If they test their talent and say, you know, I've tried and I've improved my speaking skills as best I can, but I'm just never going to be good at that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe they want to try to become the lead engineer at an aerospace company, or maybe they want to try, you know, maybe they want to try to do a job where you can rise to the top, and the amount of public speaking or leading of people in you know, in terms of having to speak a lot isn't that high. So you've got to match your skill set, you know, with what you want to do. You have to discard your fantasies immediately. Discover your talents early and discard your fantasies immediately. Don't try to be the best at something that you realize you're never going to be the best at.
But what about, if you talk about the mental discipline involved and the various sort of neurological wirings that happen when you try to learn a foreign language, are there other skills that are useful both on their own, as just looking at them, but also in terms of the habits they develop?
I think playing a musical instrument's another one that's good. Most of the people I spoke to, even the ones that are not in entertainment, even corporate executives, have had some experience playing a musical instrument, because it requires just a whole different skill set, a whole different kind of thinking. And it gives you some creativity that you can actually transfer even to a more rigid job. I mean, even a military general needs to be very creative. And things like learning to play an instrument give you that other dimension that you need. So foreign languages, learning to play instruments, studying history. A lot of these people, I talked to one of the most senior African-American engineer at Boeing. His name is Norma Clayton, very interesting person. And she said when she was little, she used to pretend like she was Madeleine going around in Paris. She used to read all kinds of stories about, you know, ancient history and things, and it was just important to her to see all different kinds of cultures and all the other things that are in the world other than what she was seeing on a day-to-day basis.
All right. Rule number 18, take the high ground, never give it up.
That quote came from Senator Jack Danforth.
Mm-hmm.
He pointed out to me that when you are in a situation where you have some options and you're dealing with an adversary of some kind, that unethical people always have more options than ethical people because they have all the options you have as an ethical person, and then they have probably five other ones.
Mm-hmm.
So they have an advantage. And the only way to level the playing field is to find the most ethical option and present that as the only option and seize on it and be tenacious in holding on to that option.